بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We completed the discussion on ruku, the significance of ruku, and what thoughts a person should have when making ruku. Then, when getting up from ruku, the appropriate words of Sami Allahu liman hamida, that Allah has heard the one that has praised him. So with this yaqeen and conviction within a person, that certainly Allah has heard me. And then, in the coma position, from the Sharia perspective, coma, the position of coma is wajib. At the same time, to halt in the coma position for the duration of minimum one subhanallah is also wajib. Thus also we should see that we are negligent in this regard, that many times, maybe because of age also, we get up from ruku slowly, and then going into sajda immediately. So that means a wajib of salat has not been completed, because we haven't halted for the duration of one subhanallah. Then as far as the coma is concerned, to read after that in the coma position, Rabbana lakal hamd. So there are many du'as that are mentioned. One has come the short, Rabbana lakal hamd. Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. So a person can read any of that, Rabbana lakal hamd, or the longer du'a, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi, kama yuhibbu wa yarda Rabbana. That all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plenty of praises, pure praises, full of blessings, as Allah ta'ala is happy and pleased with, O our sustainer. So this is a very, very beautiful du'a. On one occasion, one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, while reading salat in congregation, read this du'a. Then immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after salat posed a question as to who read the dua. So initially, because of fear, they remained silent. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam posed the question again. And then he mentioned that I seen, in one riwayat 12, in one other riwayat 30 malaika, hastening and vying with one another as to who could take this praises to Allah first. So it's beautiful praises. Hamdan kathira, O Allah, I praise you. O our sustainer, for you is all praises, beautiful, plenty of praises, pure praises, mubarakan, full of blessings, as you please, and you are happy with, O our sustainer. And if you look at similar dua, we are asked to read at the time of falling the dastarkhan also. From this, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, that we understand that when the time of the falling of dastarkhan takes place, we should be sitting. Now generally what we do, we get up before him. Because then who's going to read the dua? The maid? Or, so it's for us to read the dua. So generally we are, so that means this dua is neglected because we generally get up before falling the dastarkhan. So as it says, you must sit till there. And then few etiquettes, as it is also mentioned now that we just discussed this, that the people you should sit first and then the food should be placed. Because this is the royal dastarkhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Royal dastarkhan. And you should take it like this. This is my Allah feeding me. And see, now you'll enjoy your food also better. So it's by Allah's royal dastarkhan. And even the way you place it, Hazrat used to say, that as far as possible, many times out of kindness for our guests, we elevate the place where they sit. We put a blanket, etc. Hazrat used to say that the food should be place in a place that is higher than our sitting. So although on one side you're keeping the comfort in mind, but understand this is Allah's royal dastarkhan that He has sent to you. So out of etiquette, to keep the place higher. Obviously not a table or even a low table. Somebody asked me last night, would a low table suffice? No, plain onto the floor. That is, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad bin Gohi rahmatullah alayhi has written a fatwa regarding eating on a table, etc. He has gone to the extent of saying makruh. Hazrat Mawlana Fazl Rahman says when mutlak makruh is mentioned, then it normally refers to makruh at tahrimi, because otherwise it is qualified with makruh at tanzihi. So because the fatwa suggests mutlak, general karahat, makruh. So therefore it can be taken as makruh tahrimi. So out of, and then as it also mentions on the other point, we have different, if it's breakfast then we eat at the nook table, then we eat on chairs. But when it is lunch and supper, then we sit on the floor. So we shouldn't change that one meal we have on the floor, the other meal that we have on the table. So one is the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, understand that this is the royal dastarkhan. And as I mentioned, his own incident, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid sahab, that one occasion he was in by Maulana Yunus Patel sahab there at the masjid, and the dastarkhan was also green, and the carpet of the masjid is also green. So in mistake, he put his foot on the dastarkhan. Hazrat gave a sign. Then Hazrat mentioned, jaha peer nahi baith sakte, where the peer cannot sit, aap apne peer kaise rakh sakte ho? Then how can you put your foot on there? So understand this. And this Hazrat has also taught that many times we are negligent, we stamp on the dastarkhan to go across. If you understand this is a royal dastarkhan of Allah Ta'ala, you will not put your foot on it. So this is what we have to learn from our mashayikh, etiquettes. We sit in the company to see every ada. And that person will progress very, very far is when he travels with the Shaykh to see every ada of the Shaykh. So Hazrat said that immediately Hazrat Hakim Sahib told me that how can you even put your foot on that which Allah Ta'ala gives you rosy on. So even if you get across, take the trouble of going across. Or if you can jump completely without disturbing, then it's fine. But don't put your foot on it. So even in comfort, many times when Hazrat Hakim Sahib, and out of comfort the dastarkhan was, the place to sit was higher, then Hazrat would ask to remove that. So that is one. And then the dua to be recited when falling the dastarkhan. Mala Abraul Haq Sahib says, from this we understand, إِذَا رُفِعَ الْمَائِدَةِ, when the dastarkhan is been lifted, then it is mentioned the hadith to read the dua. Alhamdulillah الَّذِي حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا تَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ غير مخفي ولا مودعي ولا مستغنى عنه يا ربنا. What a beautiful dua. And look at the appropriateness of this dua. Now you ate, mashallah, full to your full stomach. And especially iftar, when the whole day you're hungry and you're working from 5 o'clock already, what you're going to eat. And like children, 10 minutes beforehand, they take all the savouries already. So much they put in. The eyes are bigger than the stomach. And then they can't finish it. And many times we eat so much that you require a crane to lift us up from the dastarkhan. Or you need a tow truck that you need to hire to move us to the room. Then we say we're feeling dizzy. We need to hold the wall. I think it's I'm anemic. You overate and you're blaming every other illness because of how you're feeling. So as Hakim Sahib says, look at the beauty of this dua. No matter how much you ate, till you're not even your stomach full, your throat full, and your desireful you have eaten, even one step further, your desireful. But then what dua you read? Alhamdulillah, iladhi hamdan kathira. You praise Allah. Plenty of praises, tayyiban, pure, mubarakan, and full of blessings. But look at after, ghayra makfiyin. That no matter how full I am feeling now, at this time moment, you feel that I don't have to eat for a week after this. But you acknowledge to Allah immediately, ghayra makfiyin, that's not sufficient. Well, I know my zalim stomach. 2 hours from now, no matter how I ate, it will be making gur gur again. And the takaza will come. And Hazrat says, Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say, there is great hikmat in this gur gur also. Otherwise, then we won't think of Allah when the stomach is full. So he's telling Allah immediately, غَيْرَ مَقْفِيِّن. It is not sufficient. وَلَا مُوَدَّئِن. We're not making al-wada. We're not giving farewell to this food. وَلَا مُسْتَغْدًا أَنْهُ يَا رَبَّنَا. We are not independent of your bounties, Allah. Because we know our zalim stomach, after 1 hour, 2 hours already, it will make, now you remember this dua. You told Allah, I'm not making al-wida, I'm not putting favor to your food, my stomach is making takaza again. And as it says, and gives an example to explain this point, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, as which Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib has mentioned a number of times. He said, for example, if you send your son overseas, and he's studying in a university or wherever he's studying, and you send the allowance for the whole year. From the beginning when he goes, you give him sufficient allowance for the entire year. Most likely he won't phone you again. Because now he's got his allowance, he's fine. But if you are transferring his allowance every month, on a monthly basis, and you must just be late 1-2 days, then he'll phone. Then last everybody, how's Abba? Fine, alhamdulillah, how's business, how's your health? He wants you to come to the topic to say, you know what, I'm off, man. I didn't transfer your money, I will transfer it tonight or tomorrow morning. Now, mashallah, it's so easy, cell phone transfer, internet transfer, you don't even require your bank, I'll do it today. Then he will cut the conversation very short, because now he's got his need. Till then, he'll prolong and ask everything about all your illnesses and what the doctors have said and all your blood pressure and everything he will ask. Till the point you come. Once you came to the point that inshallah I'll transfer your money, mashallah, the money is running out, I have to go, classes. So then, because you got your need fulfilled. So as I said, this is Allah's blessing, this hunger of ours is Allah's blessing in a sense. Because if you didn't get hungry, Allah could have made you. Allah is Qadir and Mutlaq. That once you ate, it was full, like a brick sits in your stomach, you feel full for the rest of your life, and you don't require. Somebody will say, that would be ideal, you don't need all those industries, etc. So much money is spent in all that. But then insan, unfortunately, you will forget his Allah. So Allah wants you to think about him, therefore he gives you hunger so that you can think about him. Otherwise you wouldn't think about him. So therefore this dua is so appropriate. غَيْرَ مَقْفِيِّنْ It is not sufficient. وَلَا مُوَدَّئِنْ We are not bidding the food farewell. وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا أَنْهُ يَا رَبَّنَا And just a story comes to mind. We were en route to one other country and we had to stop in Cairo. So mashallah, before that we gave the brothers our details. So the Jamaat brothers came to fetch us. And what a da'wat, subhanallah. And we think about, you know, we Gujaratis think that we are hospitable. And we think that we will do the catering in Jannat also. No, Allah shukar. No contract has been given to Gujaratis for catering in Jannat. If you see Arab hospitality, that will be amazing. Then you'll see what is hospitality. So mashallah, especially those Arabs that have got deen in them, Allahu Akbar, what sifat of big heartedness Allah Ta'ala has placed in them. So I can remember we sat there, and they put on either side of you one person. They don't eat at all. You take one lukma and they put in something in return. So you make sure you purposefully eat slow, because the faster you eat, the more food that comes. And then they'll carry on pouring, you take one sip and they'll pour. They will not eat at all. And whatever is left over, then they will give to everybody. So, initially we didn't know we were naive, so we're just eating, and we're seeing the brother is carrying on putting, we're seeing they're not eating. Now I realize that you can't carry on doing this, because how much are you going to eat? And you can't imagine how much we ate, because they wouldn't let you stop eating. Just before we were leaving, he brought this cake. And now, the cake, not the size that we, like a tie of a car, cake size. And he brought it to us. And now the food is still here. And so lovely the cake, and you got a flight, another 12 hour flight after that. And you're thinking, I must eat, but one is your heart is desiring, and one is what your stomach is telling is enough. So we said, no, we can't eat, we are feeling dizzy, we are feeling sick with eating so much. Jazakallah for your hospitality, etc. And then 2 hours in the flight, you're thinking about that cake now already. So then I remember Hazrat Hakim Sahib's words, غَيْرَ مَقْفِيٍ وَلَا مُوَدَّئٍ وَلَا مُسْتَغْنًا أَنْهُ يَا رَبَّنَا Zalim stomach, 2 hours already, you were making gurgur, and now you've said that, why did you put that cake farewell? رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِي كَمَا يُحِبُّ وَيَرْضَى رَبَّنَا اے صاحب ہمارے تیرے ہی تعریف ہے all praises belongs to you بہت تعریف plenty of praises پاک pure جس میں خوبیاں ہیں in which there is total beauty ایسی تعریف جسے دوست رکھے اور راضی ہو ہمارے صاحب such praises that makes you happy and pleased oh my sustainer so to read this dua and this inshallah one of the other blessings and the benefit of reading this dua that this coma will be fulfilled completely because you read this long dua and you can be totally certain that the wujub the compulsion of standing to the duration of subhanallah will be fulfilled so inshallah make it a habit there is discussion regarding whether you should be read in the faraiz salat etc like it is mentioned here that according to the Hanafi the general or the more prominent Hanafi viewpoint that it should be read in the Nawafil and the Sunan Salat. In the first Salat you should read to the extent that has been mentioned in the Fiqh Kitabs. Some Hanafi ulama of the viewpoint that this dua should be read in the first Salat also. But nevertheless, what is the discussion regarding? Many times as students, we like discussing these things. Whether it should be read, it shouldn't be read, what are the line. But truly by the end we should ask, forget whether you should read Nafarz or Nafal Salat. Nafal Salat, everybody has given mutlak ijazat, total permission to read. Do I read myself or not? Like I mentioned earlier, Maulana Shabri Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned regarding himself. He says, MashaAllah, before studying Deen, etc., I used to read 17 rakats Isha Salat. Because that's how they taught us in the Maktab, etc., that you must read 17, Isha Salat is 17 rakats. So for a long period of time, I read all 17. Then I did the fiqh kitab Mula Amala Buddhamin, and then I realized that certain sunnat-e-muakkada, certain sunnat-e-ghair-muakkada, certain farz, certain sunnah, certain wajib. So then afterwards, mashallah, I sufficed on that which was necessary, 4 farz, 2 sunnat-e-muakkada, 3 witr. Then the thought came, what's the purpose of my learning and becoming knowledgeable so that my amal can decrease? That was not the purpose of my knowledge. How is it now that I become more knowledgeable, my amal has become less? That was differentiation so that we understand in terms of the fiqhi demarcations and categorization. But that does not mean that our amal should become less. So we should not use, you should not use our ilm to decrease our amal. Ilm should be used to increase our amal. Faida. Ye khara hona peeche ruku ke dalalat hai, us par ke is aajizi par mein mustaqim hua. Ye khara hona, the standing after ruku, because now the coma position is after ruku, so to show your helplessness, now I am straight in front of you, O Allah. Now I am completely straight. Now I am straight to listen to your, after all my crookedness, etc., now I am straight to listen to your commands. So as I explained, he mentioned an incident that there was a snake that was chasing a frog. So it was pursuing this frog, and eventually the frog came to a well and he jumped into the well out of safety. So the local people seen the snake by the well and they realized it's going to be problematic for the children and for the animals, etc., so they killed the snake. So then the frog had an opportunity when he seen the snake was killed. He took out his head and then he spoke to the snake and he told the snake, you see, your whole life you're crooked like this. Now after they killed you, now you became straight. You should have been straight from the beginning, this would not have happened to you. So in the sense that our whole life we've been living a crooked life, now telling Allah, now I'm standing up straight for you, now I am right for all your orders, and I am prepared to give my life for you. Ye khara hona wajib hai, shubha wale ko chahe ke dure mukhtar aur kitab-e mitle kanz aur wikaya ko dekhe. So the standing, this coma position, let's understand this, the coma position after ruku is wajib. To the extent of one duration of subhanallah, you have to stand. Your salat is not complete without it. Without wajibat, there is no reward for your salat. So if you want to check dure mukhtar, check kanz, etc. Ilm ke bajaye kore sahi par ye dua parni sunnat hai. And according to the knowledge and according to the accepted viewpoint, that this reading of the dua is sunnat. اور جاننا چاہے کہ اب وقت پابوسی کا ہے سجدہ کیجئے. Now you realize this is the time of getting great proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ultimate. And Hazrat explains it in another way, that salat is a very romantic experience. But remember, let me just qualify before we continue, that this romance we are talking about is not the romance what we associate, what we have understanding or what we have read while we are growing up, mulls and boons, etc. That is lust. The West haven't differentiated between love and lust. Whatever they have spoken about romance and love is basically lust. Shariat is pure, an outgoing thing, an outpouring thing. That is true love. What is outpouring to Allah? So Hazrat explains Salat, he says standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like you are standing in front of your beloved. But we know that how long can you stand? Even in your first night, you just mentioned things, but the ultimate man has got in his mind something else. But he can't be too forward either. He has to show some due thought about the person he's standing up. There isn't such familiarity beforehand. So in such a way, you're standing first, making conversations, etc. But then, the heat of the moment, you can't resist any longer. You have to go closer. So ruku is that closeness. But sometimes in love making also, you play hard to get, as it says. So therefore, you push the person away, so he has to stand up straight. But now, when he has got the touch already, he can't hold himself any longer, so he just gives in completely and goes into sajda. So as I say, there's a beautiful way of understanding your proximity to Allah. But then, at the same time, it's not lust. It is your expression of your inside. It's so to say your inside is crying out. So Allah, I want to be with you and I want to submit myself totally without reservation. That is sajda. If you understand it that way, it's just this thought of making ruku and standing up after ruku and going into sajda.
Us par ke us isi aajizi par mein mustaqim hua.
And we can't continue with this parable and example. You guys are in etikaf. Just now you break your etikaf and go home. We are talking of pure love, not with lust. Ji. And here the praises carry on. Where insan, on the other hand, woman also complain, mashallah, the men, they fulfill their need, and afterwards they turn around and they look at the lampshade. The Qibla is the lampshade. Till then, all the romance and all the words, etc. Salat teaches us, even after that, the praises carries on. Our love making is till our lust is completed. When our lust is completed, wa akhiru dawana, and we look in the other direction. Salat teaches us, mashallah, we started with praises, in coma there was praises, in ruku in praises. So to say, after we fulfilled our desires, in at-tahiyyat also there is praises, praises continue. The woman says that only she is beautiful, till he fulfills his desire. After he fulfills his desire, then he doesn't even notice whether it's a stick, whether it is a unit, or whether it is his wife.
یہ کراہ ہونا پیچھے رکوع کی دلائل تھے اس پر کہ عاجزی پر مستقیم ہوا یہ کراہ ہونا واجب ہے شبہ والے کو چاہے ٹھیک ہے دین کہ اس وقت پابوسی کا ہے سجدہ کیجئے ناؤ میک سجدہ تو اللہ تو سجدہ it is different thoughts a person can have one is so to say حضرت says to not that in reality but to place your head in front of the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One is to say that I'm totally prepared, Ya Allah. I have spent my life in everything else. Now I realize there is no benefit in anything else. There is only benefit and complete happiness and ultimate success in submission to you. I'm submitting myself completely unreservedly to you. And that which I hold of importance is my head, my thinking. Somebody tell you, you're crazy and see how offense you take. Immediately, but it's referring to your mind, that your mind is not right. You're crazy. I am placing my most valuable organ in front of you in total submission. So it's complete submission. And if a person does this completely, this will teach you how to be a Muslim. How do you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because now you're exercising this. Oh Allah, I submit to you totally. I have all my thoughts, my aspirations, my jazbat of my life, my objectives. I have surrendered totally to, in your obedience, inshallah, what you require of me. Or okay, then you say appropriately, Subhan, glory be to Allah, Rabbi al-A'la, the Most High. You are at your most lowest at this particular time. But at the same time, you're acknowledging the height and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory be to Allah, my sustainer, al-A'la, the Most High. Paak hai mera sahib, bahut uncha. Ruku aur sujood, bakadre ek tasbih ke therna farz hai. To halt in ruku and sajda to the extent of one tasbih is farz. اور تین بار تسبیح منقول کہنا سنت ہے and to read three times تسبیح اس سنت لیکن مضمون اس مدہ وطنہ کا موافق اپنے حوصلے کے سمجھنا بہت ضرور ہے but to understand the subject matter one is the utterances and the action of ruku and sajda according to your ability is very very important in that way you will be able to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take out some time and think about what I am practically doing. One is obviously it's a hukum of Allah, the ruku, etc. Sajda is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, what does it mean to me? And according to your understanding, give your all into ruku. Give your all into sajda. And this is the ultimate of annihilation. That which you hold very valuable in your sight to annihilate in front of Allah, to place it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the tariq towards Allah, when a person comes on annihilation. And we mention this point again and again, that the tasawuf and suluk, the start is annihilation, and the end is annihilation, and every marhala in between, every stage in between is annihilation. And the more a person annihilates himself, the quicker he will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is a person, purpose of ibadat? Purpose of ibadat is izhar of abdiyat, to show your servitude. Not that you think yourself big, I am better than, see I am performing tahajjud, nobody. Then you haven't understood what is salat at all.
The more salat you read, the more humility comes in your person, in a person. The more annihilation comes in a person. And salat is not to express your greatness. It's to express the greatness of Allah. We should understand this. Salat is to express the greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the might of Allah, the majesty of Allah. That is salat. اور تین بار تسبیح منقول کہنا سنت ہے, لیکن مدون اس مدہ کا اپنے حوصلے کے سمجھنا بہت ضرور ہے کہ بعد تعظیم کے پھر کھڑا ہونا اور مدہ اور تنا کا عرض کرنا اگین آفٹر سجدہ. سو حضرت ایکسپلین دیٹ ان لو میکنگ آلسو ایٹ ٹائمز ایبسنس میک دا ہارٹ فونڈر ایٹ دا سیم ٹائم بٹ آف ریلکٹنس اٹ میکس اٹ مچ مور انجوائبل دیٹ یو گاٹ ایکسٹریم انجوائمنٹ ان سجدہ. ناؤ سیٹ اپ لٹل وائل, ٹیک اے بریتھ, بریز نائسلی, کم بیک اگین. The second sajda. To show your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اور پورا سنبھل کر زمین پر سر رکھنا سنت ہے. And to place your head, your forehead, your nose, etc. completely is according to the sunnah. So that means also this in sajda, that completely, because you're surrendering yourself to Allah, to have this feeling. Now we make sajda so quick, how do we even contemplate and even think that I'm surrendering myself to Allah, I've given everything of mine, I've submitted myself to Allah. When you make your sajda proper, then make one sajda like this, and then to get up Allah from sajda becomes difficult. When you start finding the enjoyment in sajda, then you won't say the imam sahab, mashallah, seems like he's got a problem at home, that's why now he's reading 17 tasbihat in ruku and sajda. So he wants to prolong the salah so he can delay coming to going home. No. Then the prolonging of sajda will become very, very enjoyable. And mashallah, this we should learn from the Ahbabi Arab and the Ahli Arab. MashaAllah, when they get deen in them, you will see, go spend time with them in Jamaat, etc., the time of Tahajjud, what enjoyment they find in Sajda. 10 minutes, one Sajda, 15 minutes, one Sajda, is no problem for them. We put our head, MashaAllah, our blood rushes to our head, we feel heavy, we're feeling dizzy after that. Because we're not used to it. Because we haven't found the mazah of Sajda yet. Find the enjoyment of sajda, then see how long one sajda, and you will enjoy. Those are the best moments of your life, when you are submitting to yourself totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اور پورا سنبھل کر زمین پر رکھنا سنت ہے. فائدہ جاننا چاہے کہ رکوع جو مقام بڑی تعظیم کا ہے. رکوع از اے پلیس آف گریٹ مینشن, دا میجسٹی آف اللہ, دا گریٹ ریسپیکٹ آف اللہ. اس سے بندے کو معلوم ہوا کہ تجھ پر بڑی عنایت صاحب کی ہے. And you should also understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tremendous blessings are upon you. کہ جو ایسے مقام بزرگ میں بدون طلب اور اجازت کسی نقیب چوبدار کے تجھ کو دخل ہوا. And at the same time you should understand this and accept this and acknowledge this. That what a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's allowed you the opportunity of ruku. And I mentioned this also that ruku is from the khususiyat of Ummat Muhammadiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous Anbiya's Sharia did not have ruku. So we should understand this is a special gift to us, one. Second is that Allah gave you an opportunity to bow in front of Him. You didn't have to be thankful to some doorkeeper, etc., that you required permission. In our time, you had to bribe Him in order to have an opportunity to make ruku to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Allah ta'ala has given you this opportunity to bow. Isi waaste bahut hi tareef karta hai. اسی واسطے بہت سی تعریف کرتا ہے اور پیشانی اپنی خاک پر رکھتا ہے اور بار بار کہتا ہے دس از آفٹر رکوع دین از سجدہ. دیئر فور یو پلیس یور ہیڈ آن ٹو دا سینڈ اینڈ وتھ ٹوٹل ہیوملٹی اینڈ پریزنگ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ اینڈ یو ایکنالج دس پوزیشن آف یورز. ون از دا گرینڈ آف اللہ, دا ہائٹ آف اللہ, دا مائٹ آف اللہ, اینڈ ون از یور انسگنیفیکنس اینڈ سبحان ربی العالی. اینڈ ایون دا سبحان, understand the Hazrat mentions, one is that Allah Ta'ala is free from praises, free from any form of faults. Allah Ta'ala is full of praises, irrespective of whether, and at the same time, in Subhan, to acknowledge your faults. And inshallah, with the barakat of so to say, saying that Allah is free from all faults, Allah will remove your faults. And by acknowledging your faults when saying Subhan, it will bring humility that is required in sajda also. The Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, the Most High. اور جاننا چاہے کہ سجدہ مقام نہایت قربت اور ظہور تجلیات جمال بادشاہی کا ہے. And they understand that sajda is a place of great proximity to Allah. The servant is closest to Allah when he is in the highest level of annihilation. Understand that. The greater the annihilation of oneself, the greater the proximity to Allah. Sajda is a zuhur of ultimate annihilation of oneself, because you are placing your most valuable commodity item, what you take pride about, and what is your ego stands for, that you have place in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore the qurbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most. And then if a person can just think and say this kaha me or kaha, one is the poem, and understand it in sajda also, like as it says, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains, kaha me or kaha ye tawaf e tawaf tere ghar ka, where me and this opportunity of making tawaf of your house. Main khwab dekh raha hu ya rab jaag raha hu, am I dreaming or am I sleeping or am I awake? In the same way, when you're making sajda, oh Allah, where me and where's having this opportunity of making sajda in front of you. So this will give you great proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this mazmoon of love, this mazmoon is from Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat mentions that this mazmoon, that salat, and to understand it, like Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has given two parables and examples of hajj also. One is of a servant showing his ultimate annihilation in front of Allah and wearing the ihram, etc. And one is the subject matter when making hajj, to think about love making, to say that how you are in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you forget your whole self in that process, and you go with disheveled hair, you have no thoughts about yourself, and you clothing that you are not used to wearing, you are prepared to do for your beloved. In the same way, salat, you can have these two thoughts in your mind, that it is the ultimate expression of abdiyat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the highest form of showing love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after making ruku and sajda, or Allahu Akbar kahe, and say Allahu Akbar. That's what this thought all the time in Allahu Akbar. This one subject continuous to understand the grandeur of Allah, the might of Allah, the majesty of Allah. Allahu Akbar ke mazmoon ko isi tarah samjhe ki ek bar awal mein samjha tha, ruku mein nazar pao, theek hai. Then this one is you have uttered it at the beginning, the takbir tahrima, the word Allahu Akbar. Then also to understand there is a recurrence and all the time repeating, so that the reality of this greatness of Allah comes into your heart. And then also then in ruku mein nazar pao par jama rakhe. In ruku look at your feet, aur Allah ta'ala ki kibriyai aur barai aur apni zillat ka tasawur kare. In ruku also understand, by looking at your feet, understand your lowliness, at the same time acknowledge and understand the grandeur and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or sijda mein naak par nazar rakhe, and place and look in sijda at your nose. Hazrat mentions that there is great negligence. We presume we are looking at our own nose. The next salat we read, really contemplate, do I look at my nose? This is sunnat and mustahab of salah. Very, very few look at their nose in sijda. And the general practice, Hazrat says, when making sijda, people generally close their eyes. You go into sajda and you close your eyes. Whereas you're supposed to look at your nose. Or apni hakarat aur khaksari ka tasawur kare. And as I said, insan is such, from every hole that he has, he possesses in his body, only dirt comes out. So even here from your nose, you're looking at it, understand there is only filth that comes out from here. So you, from that you can understand your lowliness and your insignificance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In arkan ki bhi achi tarah mashq karne ke baad, agla sabak shuru kare. So Hazrat says that let's not even go to the next sabak. First, these things that we have mentioned here, first exercise upon them, bring your lifestyle upon it, like get the reality of it, and then continue. So probably maybe we should do the same thing. Wait till MashaAllah, Chilla will be 4 months after. Ye baat bar bar isliye likhi jati hai. We are writing this continuously, that don't continue with the next sabak till there is you have satisfied with the previous sabak and your life has come onto the previous sabak. Because he mentioned that the taqaza of one's tabiat, the requirement of one's nature is to move always forward. We want to go forward. What's this first lesson all about? But rather, let's see whether the lessons, the first lesson, the second lesson, and the third lesson has come in our lives or not. So that's primarily the third lesson, which has got to do with ruku, koma, and sujood. And for this also, inshallah, just take out some time. Like we give ourselves time, tafakkur, which is required. And I explained, Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddith Dehlvi, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned that in order to get sifat-e-ihsan, one very great part of sifat-e-ihsan is tasawwur and muraqabah, to think and to ponder. So also ponder before starting salah, that what is this ruku? What is this sajda? What it is meant for? What am I supposed to express? With what thoughts should I go into ruku? With what thoughts should I go into sajda? What sentiments should I express in ruku? What sentiments should I express in sajda? Then, inshallah, in the next salat, express those sentiments from the depth of your heart. This, Allah, this is what I am annihilating myself. I am showing I am nothing. I acknowledge totally you are everything. And this, inshallah, see what happens after that. Sabak Chaharu, the fourth lesson, which has got to do with Qada or Salam.
We do practical Salat on Monday.
Depending how long you design Ramadan to be. If you design Ramadan to be 30 days, inshallah, then Monday or Sunday or Saturday, then we know how the lessons. So inshallah, we'll do it on Monday, but I hope that Ramadan, that Eid will be on Tuesday, inshallah. Take care. Sabak Chaharum, Qada or Salam. As it says, mashallah. We say that with our tongues, mashallah, that even if Ramadan was 2 months. He says, somebody must announce that this year Ramadan is 35 days and see what happens inside. So he says, when a person goes for 4 months in Jamaat, mashallah, he goes to Nizamuddin, arrive in Markaz, and the such jazbat is created within him that I'm giving my whole life. Now I'll tell my wife I will meet her in Jannat, etc. And this is my life, etc. So this is your mazmoon. You give da'wah 25 people every day, 30 people like the mashayikh described and prescribed to us. So a person is in that thought. But then, when he's leaving, arriving in Markaz, say for example, now going to the airport, going to Lahore, or to get his train, or to get his flight, and if somebody has to call him from the gates of the Markaz, and they have to take his name, say for example, Muhammad Hussein, and they call him, he won't even look in the direction. Now he's going home. And he'll think they're talking to, say, he's referring to some other Muhammad Hussein, when he knows fully well they are talking about him. So as I say, we say with our tongue, mashallah, Ramadan must be 40 days, 50 days. But inside, we are already planning to go home. And you see how quick the sleeping bags get wrapped, etc., mashallah, waiting. Take inshallah. In sense, we acknowledge our weaknesses at the same time. And from this, we realize how much more that how great Allah Ta'ala is, and our insignificance and our humility. And become humble through that, because acknowledging one's weakness will also bring humility in a person, inshallah. Sabak chaharum, qada aur salam. Jis waqt ye banda arzdash aur taadim aur arde hajat aur tasbih muafiq apne hausle ke kar chuka, to qabiliyat baithne ki hasil ki. Subhanallah. And when the person now, he has mentioned his praises to Allah, we mentioned from the starting of Salat, from this Tana and Takbir, and mentioning the greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, and through Surah Fatiha, mentioning one's needs in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then according to your ability, expressing the Tasbihat, now you are becoming worthy, so to say, of sitting in front of Allah. Like as it says, you go to somebody's house, you just don't go and sit. After pleasantries exchange, then he knows you, then he feels comfortable with you, then he will allow you the opportunity, bye-bye, you can sit. So understand like this, the pleasantries have been exchanged, and now you have expressed your insignificance in front of the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to say now, not that you have a right, out of Allah's kindness, He's allowed you the opportunity to sit in front of Him. So understand qada like that. Agarche baitna samne aise badshah ali ja ke tark ki adab hai. Whereas if you really look at it from another perspective, to sit in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against etiquette. To such a great Allah, it is just befitting that we only stand in front of Him. Where do we deserve even sitting in front of Him? And this thought about not deserving makes a person reach Allah ta'ala very, very quickly. And today primarily, this is just to digress slightly, we talk about the common problem of depression. Just one is from the medical perspective of depression, etc. But look into it deeply, and you will find one very, very common thread in depression is where a person will not even acknowledge himself. But when he feels he is deserving and he does not receive, that brings about depression. But he feels, why am I deprived? Why has somebody else got? And this also stems to a great extent from one's ego. One's ego wants that you must be above everybody else, that everything must come towards you. So even in this tariq of tasawuf is great cure for your problem of depression also. Because if we do not understand, one is the medical depression, we acknowledge that and we accept that. But many times the depression that most of us feel, it is because of this right that we feel that we deserve. And because people are not acknowledging our position, the family is not regarding us as we want to be
regarded. Our children are not regarding us like that. The society is not regarding us like that. The wealth that's supposed to come in our direction is not coming to my direction. Whereas a banda that he thinks that he is not worthy of anything, inshallah, he will not suffer from depression. Because he realized whatever has come is a great Allah's bounty. Even the, what outwardly might seem little is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.